I got the utmost confidence in Ben and his coaching ability, his play calling, and all of that. So, I think it comes down to being able to execute exactly what he puts out there for us as a team, as an offense. And when things are throughout the week, when we're messing up and things like that, which are going to happen, we got to get back in the huddle, redo it, so that when it happens on game day, we go out there and execute exactly what he dishes out for us.
That, of course, is Caleb Williams. This is Raheem Ann Harris with Mark Brody on The Score. And we go out once again to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we are joined by Brett Coleman. He is at Brett Coleman, K-O-L-L-M-A-N-N, on X, the creator of All 32 and co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast. He does a lot of great film breakdown for NFL Plus this season as well. Brett, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk a little Bears.
We are too with you. I think the first question we have is, we know that you've done a lot of film study on Ben Johnson's offense when he was with Detroit. So what are you looking forward to perhaps the most, or what are you looking for the most when it comes to what we could possibly see on Monday against the Vikings?
So I think we're going to see a very different version of this offense from September to December, because we are still very early on in the Caleb Williams development curve. And the thing that you need to understand about what Ben was able to do with Jared Goff last year, this was an offense in Detroit. Looking at my numbers right now, they were 32nd in pistol, they were 30th in shotgun, they were first in under center by a mile, 57.2% under center. That is very foreign for the modern NFL. And it's especially very foreign for young quarterbacks that are spending most of their time in college either in the shotgun or in the pistol in some cases. And even for Jared Goff, he is one of the quarterbacks that I point to the most for how the league has changed how they develop quarterbacks. If you go back to Goff's rookie year in LA, he only had 39 under center snaps the entire year. Last year in Detroit, he led the league by a wide margin at 236 dropbacks from under center. So I would expect, even though Caleb had a fair share of under center last year, I would expect we're going to see even more this year. The real question is if he's going to be better at it. Because if you're looking at the main purpose why you line up under center as a quarterback, the main purpose is for play action. Play action is far more effective when you're under center compared to from the gun. The fake is harder. Linebackers have to bite more. You can do more run concepts from under center, which is why defenses have to respect them more, respect the run more from under center. So the more you do it, the better your run game is going to be, and the better your play action game is going to be.
Brett Coleman,
if you're looking at Kate,
go ahead.
So if you're looking at under center play action specifically, last year Caleb was not that good. He was 28th in passer rating when doing that. He had the third highest average time to throw when doing it at 3.82 seconds. That is an eternity. The only other quarterbacks that were higher than him were also really young, in Jaden and Bryce Young. He left a lot of meat on the bone when he was doing it. So when Ben Johnson came in, and there was that famous quote of drink it through a fire hose and everything like that, the drink it through a fire hose part was him learning how to do this, because it's really the only way you're going to be able to beat Brian Flores is to do that. That's how Detroit did it. That's how LA's done it. That is the only way you're going to crack this pass defense, and specifically the types of blitzes they throw at you, is if you can do under center play action. If that is not on the table this week, which remains to be seen, there are going to be a lot of struggles. If they come out and he can do that, all of a sudden you could see Chicago starting the season 1-0 against a really, really good Vikings team.
Okay, that's a great explanation, Brett, specifically about the formations and the way that the quarterback has to function in Ben Johnson's offense. Looking at what Caleb's been able to do to this point in his career, and for good reason, we were told, like, don't worry about what you saw first year. He's not taking that with him. What's a reasonable expectation when you talk about this offense looking different from September to December?
A reasonable expectation is, ideally, better pass protection, right? Just by nature of having better guys out there in terms of the offensive line. I would expect them to lean very heavy on the outside zone run game. Like, you think the Shanahan teams run outside zone a lot? Believe me, Ben Johnson did it even more. They were third in outside zone last year. They ran it over half the time, especially from under center. So you're going to see that a lot from DeAndre Swift. He's not as good as Jahmyr Gibbs, but also almost nobody is, but they're going to use him like Jahmyr Gibbs. And then Roshan, I imagine, is going to be the David Montgomery, right? Like, he's going to be the short yardage guy. And then, maybe we'll see some Kyle Monanga as well in that role. And you're going to see boots, play action, work in the intermediate middle. And if Caleb can do that, if he could just dial down, or rather dial up his processing speed a little bit and be able to work that area of the field, I would imagine this offense is going to look very, very similar to what we saw in Detroit, because their weapons overall are very similar. Their offensive line is much improved. Like, I could see this being a top 10 offense in the NFL, but it all comes down to, can Caleb execute that particular part of this offense in that particular alignment at least 80% as well as Goff did last year?
You know, one of the things too, Brett, that came up yesterday out at Hallis Hall, you know, Ben Johnson was asked about it and Caleb Williams was asked about it, and that is cadence and how important that is to this offense. Why is it so important to this offense?
Ooh, that's a good question. So there's two different ways that quarterbacks can get defenses to show them what they're in. You can either use cadence or you can use motion. This was not a very motion-heavy offense, at least under Ben Johnson last year. And that's because, again, when you have the quarterback turn his back to the defense to execute a hard play action fake, you really don't want motion to clog up that picture even more, because safeties and corners and linebackers are going to respond to motion. You want it to be as static as possible so that when you turn your back and you execute that fake and then you flip your eyes back again, they're in a reasonable spot that you can expect, right? So you want it to keep it static. Last year, their motion rates were, you know, bottom five in the NFL in Detroit. It's not that they didn't use it ever. It's just they didn't want it to clash with what they were doing play action wise. And the other way you can do it is, if you're not using motion to get the defense to show you what they're in, use cadence, use hard counts. They had a really nifty fake silent count that I saw in the Vikings game last year. Not to get too technical with it, but they essentially had Goff initiate a fake silent count when they were on the road in Minnesota, and then you had the guard poke the center, and the center did like a fake head raise and lower, and like they got him to jump into what they were in. Goff changed the call. They were showing zero, and then they hit a touchdown to Amon-Ra. So like, the way that you can not just use cadence, but also use silent counts and fake cadences and fake silent counts, like, that's how you make up for not having motion in the offense to still give the quarterback a clear picture. It's really high level stuff. It is hard for young quarterbacks to do. I don't think he's going to be as good at it as Goff was, but also Goff's been in the league forever. Again, if he could just be 80% of that in that area, this offense could be really good.
We are talking to Brett Coleman, the creator of All 32, co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. And Brett, I want to go back to what you said about the outside zone concept. We saw a lot of that in the past two offensive coordinators with the Bears, you know, remnants of that offense after Shane Waldron was fired, still kind of a similar idea. And I'm kind of surprised to hear that, because the place where the Bears improved the most was in the middle of that offensive line. So that would indicate to me perhaps more running up the middle. What is your indication that that won't be the case based on what you told us?
So when I look at interior offensive line play and how that kind of dictates what type of runs you're going to be good at, it's not necessarily about just pure talent. It's about size and skill set. And so if you're looking at offenses that really run in between the tackles with like downhill run schemes like the Rams, if you're looking at obviously Baltimore, like they got guys that are 330, 340, you know, the Eagles 360 in some cases, and they really get downhill. Whereas outside zone teams, it's not that they don't prioritize interior offensive linemen. It's more so they just look for different skill sets. And it's more so about, do you have a quick first step? Do you execute your combo blocks with fluidity and precision and grace so that you can execute that as quickly as possible and then get to the second level? People don't realize this, but the most important position when it comes to outside zone, other than the running back, is the center. Because the center is going to be responsible for the hardest blocks, right? He's got to handle a nose tackle. He's going to have to sometimes reach a G technique or a three technique all by himself. He's going to be getting up in the second level and handing linebackers in space. Like, Frank Ragnow was such a key piece for that Lions offense because they could run their outside zone scheme through him. And you see Chicago, you know, bringing in Dolman. Guess who ran outside zone even more than Detroit did? Atlanta. He's very familiar with this kind of scheme. So you can't really have this type of run game without a good center. That's why they prioritize the position. I would imagine that even though, yes, they replaced a lot of their interior guys, they replaced them to run this specific style of run better than what Chicago was able to do it last year.
This is Brett Coleman. We thank you so much for joining us here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. If people want to get more of what your film study is all about, because I think you do great work, what's the best place to do it? I know you've got your podcast and on YouTube as well. Where can they find you?
You can find me, a variety of places. I also do work with the Chargers. I do work on the NFL's YouTube channel, NFL Plus, my own personal channel, Brett Coleman, the Bootleg Football Podcast, which I do with fellow Bears fan EJ Snyder, who also runs his own Bears podcast called Bear Era. So we talk more Bears than maybe most other national shows do. But I'm all over this season, and I'm ideally going to be talking even more Bears.
We love that. Yeah, I've seen your work on YouTube a time or two, but I just didn't know if there was a particular account you wanted to push there.
Yeah, man, people are going to be sick of me by the time we get to January. I'll tell you what, like, I'm going to be in a lot of places.
Not if you give them as much information as you just gave us. They will not be sick of me. They will be breathing in it like a fire hose. They're going to take it, everything they could take.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I got a Bears-Vikings video coming out this week where I break down all of Flores' blitz structures and how Johnson attacks it. So if you want even more, I got that coming soon.
We will keep an eye out for that for sure. I have a feeling we will be looking at that over the weekend. Brett Coleman, thank you so much. And at some point, I also hope you get to enjoy your Twitch background there. That's pretty cool, too.
Thanks, Brett.
I'm gonna pour a little bit tonight. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That was Brett Coleman. I do think he does great work. Shout out to Robbie for booking him, because that's a lot of fun. Coming up next, we got to figure out what these kids are doing down the hallway here, don't we?
Yeah.
It's not time for transition, but I think it's time to be nosy.
But before we do that, let's give away some stuff.
Oh,
good with that?
This guy Marshall just like giving stuff away left and right today.
It's not
Marshall,
my stuff.
Marshall
I
wants
clear.
To thank you for listening.
Yes, that is absolutely the case. If you're the sixth caller right now, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to the first ever Oktoberfest with the Cubs, which is coming to Wrigleyville September 19th through the 21st in the Toyota Camry lot on Gray Street. Enjoy authentic food, beer, tents, live music, carnival rides, even a ceremonial keg tap. Tickets are on sale now starting at just $15. Children 10 and under, they are free. Head to Cubs.com/Oktoberfest for details. Again, call number 6-312-540-0670 right now.
We have more with Raheem and Harris and Mark Grody on The Score.